שלום לכולם, אנחנו
Hello everyone. בישיבת הכתבים פותחים Again, we are opening the new week with the writers meeting. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello everyone. And we would like to open with the main issue now that the world is concerned about in Israel, the coronavirus again, the second round. There is a warning put out that Israel is going into a second wave of coronavirus, and if we don't seriously reconsider all the alleviations and the easements we made, we're going to go back into quarantine probably for a month. The World Health Organization is also announcing that the virus is spreading much more quickly than before. It's still deadly. We still don't know everything we need to know about this virus. So what from here? How do you see things going forward? Dr. Lightman, I don't know. The Israelis are so wild, so disorganized that it's difficult to say anything. The virus doesn't take anything under consideration, so to speak. If you want to go into pubs, into restaurants, weddings, street parties, etc., well, go do that, but you will see how by that more people become sick and die. I don't understand. I don't think anyone truly understands the virus, but it's clear to us that only a serious restriction over everything we do in life, other than businesses and industries which are crucial for our existence, those we need, and also there we have to make sure not to transmit the virus to each other, to be very extra careful. I think we will be sitting at home. And I see this as a very good process. It's the cleaning, the purification of Israeli society and human society in general. Removing all the peels, the shells, the things we did which were unnecessary. We did them only to exploit and make a profit off of each other. So that time is over. We need to see how we can live in a humble way, a good, nice way, not to completely dismantle the planet and exploit every possible resource. We need to make sure to take care of our water, to take care of our air, and so on, and live only to live in a healthy manner. And this is ultimately what this coronavirus wants of us. That's what we see. So I would say it acts in a very smart way, very intelligent way. Much more intelligent than we act anyway, human beings. Dudi, can we go through the second wave? We're entering in a different way than the first, without the quarantine or all the limitations. I don't think so, because it's not a problem of being in quarantine or not. It's a problem because we need to get rid of all the businesses which are needless, unnecessary, where we control ourselves, close things down and start working on our inner development, us and our children and everyone, and we will develop such businesses, such entertainment, where we don't erupt in a way where we generate states which are opposite to connection. We need to learn from the coronavirus how to connect, even though it may sound very not in keeping with what's happening with this virus, but we need to learn how to connect properly in the new age. Dudi, why is this cloud hovering over us, so to speak, hiding things from us, making us think illogically? Dr. Lightman, this is our nature. Like little children, we don't want to have any restrictions. I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to go out, have fun in the evening, and no one can tell me to do this or that. And the government can't stop me, the police can't stop me, and I do whatever I want. It's well known how a person behaves. And we will need to learn a harsh lesson from nature. Duty. Okay, that's not clear, because the first wave came, now the second one comes, and it's just becoming worse. Dr. Lightman, we don't want to accept that these things are coming to us in a methodical manner. We don't want to recognize that there's a guiding hand behind it. That's the problem, because had we known that there is a power, a program, a plan in place to bring us to a new proper connection that needs to be adapted to nature as the degree of Adam, the speaking degree, we must be in that already, then we would be more careful. At least we would learn about the nature of the inanimate vegetative and animate degrees and of nature and the speaking degree especially, and what they want from us. So then we'd be thinking, what's happening with nature? What does it want? And then we would have been properly aligned. But if we're not looking at it this way, rather we think everything comes in a random way, by chance, and we can accept it or not accept it, we lower it to the degree of blind nature and not thinking that it's above us, then we pay dearly. We don't learn. Duty. There are people who think that it's just fear-mongering, the government trying to control people. No, we need to return to how we were, without fear. Dr. Lightman, look, nature teaches us in an intelligent manner and out of love. It's like parents, they don't want to immediately punish in a harsh manner. They don't want to do that to the naughty child until some point where he begins to be extremely badly, and then you hit him. So nature wants to educate us to be like it, or Dr. Lightman, look, there are many means in nature by which nature is guiding us to build and be built as a new integral society where we are compatible with the integral nature. Yuri, what conditions need to be kept for the message of connection from the wisdom of Kabbalah to be perceived as something logical that must be done, so that decision makers also accept it, and every person, not that it won't sound odd or delusional? Dr. Lightman, on one hand, they'll have to go through terrible blows and pains, losing fortunes, losing their seats in government, lots of human suffering, perhaps more natural blows will come, more natural disasters such as tsunamis, earthquakes, volcanoes, fires. The wisdom of Kabbalah says that a third and even a fourth world war may come. It's all in place, ready. Nature has all the means. And we see, and we saw in the past also, how the whole process which nature is taking the inanimate, vegetative, animate, and speaking degrees through over millions of years. Well, it's there's no consideration or truthless. If something needs to happen, it will happen. No compromise. And we've reached a state where only the speaking degree is, it now needs to be adapted to the general nature. So you have several things happening here, and everything depends on the person, on the human species, and the extent to which we understand the path, and it is possible to understand. And that's how we will advance. Dudi, so how can we correctly use the coronavirus in order to advance on a social level? What kind of responsibility do we need to now show? Dr. Reitman, we need to use the coronavirus in order to explain to humanity as a whole the process in which we are. Corona, well, it's coronavirus. It can be through other ways also, where nature awakens us and demands of us to check what's going on. And in keeping with that, to start on a new stage in human development. So I very much hope we understand it. As far as I'm concerned, the coronavirus is the great, exalted, divine power, the good power that acts in a very calm way, not very cruelly, not with great cruelty. It's not some earthquake, a volcano, or other such things. It's not even great stock market collapses with great panic that suddenly awakens in everyone in the world. It's not a world war. It's just in a very easy way we're being taught to stop engaging in businesses which are needless, unnecessary. We're told to start live healthier, calmer life. And we're told you'll see how much you'll gain from it with your children, in your life in general, and let go of all the imaginary businesses. Stop running from place to place. What for? It's not clear. Stop manufacturing things which are completely unimportant, that aren't necessary. Your industries are working day and night to simply pollute the seas, the oceans. So for the time being, it's a soft study, so to speak, out of love. Dudi, Shelley, please. We can't hear you. No, take care of it and Norma will ask for the timing. In Israel, we're always taught to be a strong society because of the situation. There's all sorts of challenges, wars, anti-Semitism. There are always challenges for Israel, and this is what the people are used to. So we're taught to be strong and to understand that everything is fine, everything will pass. But there's certain indifference to things which truly harm us. So how can we change this perception where seemingly we don't need to do anything, we're strong, nothing's a big problem? Dr. Leitman, this is why we're called hard-headed people, stiff-necked. They don't want to hear everything. They don't want to listen to anyone. They don't want to change themselves. They think that everything will be just fine, like some spoiled child brat. He's certain that his parents love him so much that they won't do anything to him. Maybe they'll yell a bit, but it's better. I can do whatever I want and let them yell, let them shout a bit. For the time being, it's good for me overall. So Israel always take that path with the upper force, with nature. And I'm certain these things will be good in the future. That's on one hand true. There is a guarantee of sorts. But on the other hand, we need to do something about ourselves. There has never been in human history, and the history of the Israeli people in specific, a situation where we were obligated to take care not just of ourselves and nature as a whole, but humanity as a whole. And I think that here we will start being hit. And that's what the prophets wrote about the days of the Messiah. They wrote that we're nearing such times where this is a time called the days of the Messiah, the time of the Messiah. The Messiah is the power that pulls us from the word Moshech, Mashiach, pulls us from our degree to higher degrees, higher degrees of humanity. And here we can go under the influence of other forces of nature, not the same as before, but much harsher ones. So it's written about this in the prophets, that there will be hunger to the point where merciful mothers eat their children. People will kill each other, and just terrible overall. And I don't think the Torah is exaggerating here. Rather, we are facing very, very serious challenges. It's better not to frighten others, but to see that the changes we have to undergo with the coronavirus, it's not that we'll get some medicine and everyone gets a shot and we continue living as before. No. No shot, no vaccine will help no one. And I'm certain we won't even find that shot, that medicine. Nature is smarter, stronger than us. And we will need to study to find the right solution, a different solution, not to run away from the changes we have to undergo. Shelley, can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Okay, so before you talked about how nature is looking at our every action, trying to guide us towards a new place, is it something that happens on the individual level for each person, or is there some force in nature giving each person personal providence, guidance, or is it more general now for the whole of humanity? Dr. Leitman, well, it was more general in the past, I think, and now it's becoming much more individual. Much more individual. Shelley, so a person has to be under the feeling that some upper force is checking him. Dr. Leitman, the upper force is nature. It's called nature. God is nature. It controls the person. It requires new, proper behaviors from the person, more realistic behaviors, more mature behaviors. So how should a person behave right now in order to meet nature's demands? Dr. Lightman. Well, it has to consider others. He has to think as though he's carrying the virus, and so he must be careful about making contact with others. And we have all sorts of guidelines from the Ministry of Health, and perhaps they're wrong as well. But if everyone behaves this way, and I behave this way, then as part of the tribe, as part of the people, I ensure myself, guarantee to myself that I will be healthy and whole with everyone. Okay, so the government allows me to meet grandpa and grandma, but I have doubts. It could be dangerous for them. So to follow my feeling or the government guidelines? Dr. Reitman, according to what you feel, the less contact, the better. Let them look at each other through the computer. Your parents also have a computer. Each one has a computer today. And they can see. And to speak through the phone, no problem. Shelly, what is the law you mentioned? I dwell amongst my people. Is that the law of nature? Dr. Lightman, if we connect as one, we become a people. And then we can discover inside the connection between us, we can discover the upper law of nature, a degree which is higher still than our nature. It's called God. And there is no upper force or something like that. Rather, it's called that because it organizes human society in general. Dudi. And in that state, there is no criticism. You just follow blindly whatever you're told. Dr. Lightman. Yes, I conduct criticism of myself in order to be together, to belong to everyone. And everyone are organized that way. It's not that, again, we divide into factions, political parties, and so on. Duty. And then in a place where we all try to obey the same instructions, to put on a mask or whatever, what happens then? Dr. Lightman, nothing bad can befall them, nothing. Duty. Because? Dr. Lightman, you can bring them all to the cliff's edge, let them all embrace each other, jump off the cliff, and you'll see that they won't be harmed to that point. Duty. Okay, well, what is that law then? What is that rule? Why is it so? Dr. Lightman, because connection is above everything. Singular, unique force is above all the laws of nature, because everything stems from it. Duty. Okay, well, if there is separation in the people, where part of the people think that you need to obey all these instructions, like Shelley talked about, see grandpa and grandmother in the Zoom meeting, and some, they don't care about these guidelines at all. So, if we don't follow the guidelines, does it make the virus worse? Dr. Lightman, everyone has to obey the instructions, the guidelines, and it doesn't matter how just or correct they are. If it comes from the government, which determines things as it does for the people, I must keep those laws and follow those guidelines. Otherwise, who will I listen to? Duty. Okay, but is this what's causing the outbreak of the virus? Dr. Lightman, yes, I have several doctors amongst my students. Each one says something different. One says that we need to sit at home and not to have everyone go out. The other says, no, go out, have a good time, it's all a lie. And so it is, between these two extremes, you have all the rest. Who shall I listen to? I listen to what the government says. because I have no one else to listen to. I have to listen to government as a citizen. So I try. This is called I sit, I dwell amongst my people. Okay, so what I read is there are many responses saying that 7,000 people a year die from smoking cigarettes here. So, Dr. Lightman, I don't know. I have to listen to what's going on here in order to be part of my people. I have to listen to the guidelines of the Ministry of Health. Now the question is, what happens next with the Ministry of Health? Is it correct? Is it incorrect? That doesn't matter to me. I have no one else to listen to. And that is how I think we should act. Okay, I want to insist in any case. We see the government removing restrictions every day, despite the fact that there are more and more sick every day, so I can obey like a sheep. Or questions, there are questions. Dr. Lightman, I tend towards more restrictions. I don't go out to places with people there. I try to be isolated from everyone. That's it. As much as possible. Okay, people are writing already that government is full of lobbyists and moneyed interests. And Dr. Lightman, I understand all these things, but there's nothing you can do about it. This is how I must behave. What, until I cleanse the government of all the lobbyists, what will I do then? Who there understands the coronavirus, even if everything is pure without any lobbyists or anything? Okay, so if it was just tyrannical government, then despotism would have been good in terms of nature. Okay. Dr. Lightman, of course, that depends who's in charge. The upper force only. Shelly, I'm sorry I cut you off there. Okay, we got a question here. Many people are suffering from mental anguish now. Stress. Other than the economy, people feel they cannot plan out the next year to go to school, not to go to school. People are sitting at home, don't know what to do, they can't see their families. So I think this place of concern exists in each one of us. So what do you do with it? What do you tell the person? The more we connect together in heart and soul, the more we keep our physical distance, we will become healthier faster. And then we will know what's happening to us, what's going to happen to us in the following year, us and our children. And for now, what to say? I don't plan anything. I just try to be more considerate and the Creator will take care of everything. Dr. Lightman, nature demands that we be a bit smarter, more restrained, not to run out to the sea and other places where we sit basically on top of each other. Not to wait at some huge lines to go into restaurants in Tel Aviv. We have to understand what nature is demanding and to behave accordingly. But it won't help us to be smarter. So you'll have a few more sick, a few more dead. The virus won't let us go until we truly behave differently. Shelley, and on the practical level, people are used to planning their lives a step forward, always one step forward. Dr. Lightman, let's look at our lives in a practical manner. And we have new conditions, right? We don't have to run off to work immediately. Let's discuss things. What businesses should we leave so we can exist correctly? What are the crucial businesses? And the rest, no. You simply cancel them. What of everything we do in our relationships, do we need to leave in place so as to have normal relationships? Let's start cleaning the grounds a bit. Not be as wild as we've been in recent times. Dudi, why can't we continue our external life, our social life as we had before? Just add an inner layer. Dr. Lightman, this party has to end. It won't help. Anything you say won't help. You'll see that nature leaves no room for all of that, for this party. Dudi, so what we talked about in the last writers' meeting was that we talked about a gradual process wherein businesses which are necessary for a society will remain and even grow, and those that aren't necessary will just disappear. And even that the country, the nation will nationalize many businesses and become a big kibbutz. So the question is, how can you deduce from the coronavirus that we need to change our way of life, our economy? There's a virus, yeah, extant, but why does this mean we have to change everything we do, our economy, the way we do business? Dr. Lightman, what will I tell you? This virus is not just a virus. It wants to change the relationships between us. And that's what it will do. You can see that people aren't going out to the street, and even if they are, this is just a little kind of outburst, which will stop soon. 50,000 people go into restaurants, so some percentage of them will die, and this will teach us. Gradually, we will be taught. I understand that it's difficult to immediately stop everything. I was sitting right between my four walls there, and it's difficult. Yes, I know, but what to do? You tell me. Do you have any substitute? You will need to develop your life, your businesses. You'll need to develop an approach to life, to entertainment, in such a way where you mostly focus on your inner life. You have a computer. You can be connected to the whole world. Go ahead. Go a bit deeper into this. You develop the wheel, right? Why does that mean you have to just start running around the whole world? No, it won't work. Nature demands that we rise to a new kind of connection from heart to heart. Dudi, another question. You expressed wonder seeing business owners go to the nation, demand assistance, monetary aid, but they pay a lot of tax to the government, so it's natural for them to have demands of the country. Why are you so bewildered about them asking the nation for assistance? Dr. Lightman, I'm bewildered about nations which don't offer anything necessary to the people, to the nation, that they come and shout, "You must help us." Why? Why do I have to help you? You existed. So long as you existed, you paid your taxes so you could exist within the nation as a business. Now you cannot continue existing. You cannot pay the taxes. So why should I help you? According to what agreement between us must I help you? Just say. I don't know. I don't know, but it's illogical. Did I sign any agreement with you, a mutual insurance that you pay me some money in case of something happening? No, there is no such thing. But I paid taxes to the country all those years. Dr. Leitman, yes, you paid taxes because you existed as a business in the country under the umbrella of the nation, and you made a profit off the citizens, and there you must pay taxes because the people coming to you belong to the nation, and the nation needs to protect them, to supply them with all sorts of services. You didn't pay for insurance in case your business fails, that you get your money back from the nation. Perhaps there are such arrangements, such insurance, but it's not part of the nation itself, the state. These are companies, individual companies. So I paid social security for 30 years, and once I have my business collapses, you say, you're not crucial to society anymore, bye, just see ya. No, do you understand how many businesses exist that way, where social security, does that even exist yet, the money? Or did everyone steal it already? And now the country needs to pay everyone back. Judy, just understand, if your business to begin with was doomed to fail, and all these businesses are failing, being unnecessary businesses as they are, what do you want? How can the representative of the Mashbir Letzachan come and cry, help, we're so important? He was even made fun of on television. Why are you important? Why are you shouting? It's a joke. And he's being very serious, wanting to awaken everyone. To help him. Never mind the Mashbir Letzachan, that's much bigger. I'm talking about the smaller businesses. What's Dr. Leitman? The falafel stand in the corner of the street, if no one can sustain that, maintain it, then no one will. If it's crucial to the nation, to the people, and the people are willing to pay for it to exist, then it will. Why does the nation have to sustain businesses which are not making any money? But he paid to the nation, to the falafel stand owner, Dr. Leitman, but he didn't pay for that. Not for that. Is there any kind of insurance for against going bankrupt? Another question. There are psychological mechanisms that make people think that what they do is important. So where to get some mental fortitude in situations like this? Dr. Leitman, I think there are institutions where you can go and speak and receive assistance, support, but it's not that it will be free. The question is simple. You need to look at the end, at the final outcome, and the end is such that most people in the work market today won't work. Rather, only those who are crucial to sustain the society. And those must work in the field, in the factory, to the extent that they're necessary, only to that extent. Everything else that you developed over the past 100 years, even the past 50 years, all those imaginary businesses which are completely unnecessary, or as it's written, go and make a living off each other, all of that will fall and disappear. I don't understand how from a state of chaos, Dr. Lightman, it's not chaos. The final outcome is in the initial thought. You need to explain to them where we need to get now and how we get there also. Like in a roller coaster, like in a slide, right? Or a roller coaster. We all have to hold on to each other nicely, in a good way. And it's not just us. The whole world will have it this way now. Okay, so I see I'm being attacked with dozens of questions now. Everyone is asking, okay, so what? I'm sitting on my slide now. I see my end coming as a small business. What do you offer me? Any practical advice? I know that tomorrow I'm going home. So help me. What to do? Great, so we have to turn to the nation and together decide what we're doing, because the nation has the power to concentrate everyone together and think of what we can do with ourselves in this situation. What's the role of the nation here? It's not clear. In the new system, Dr. Lightman, it's an organizational role. Right? Organizational. What shall we do? Let's say that in a year's time we need to have our whole economy become leaner, to reduce it, downsize from 100% to 30%. What do we do with the 70 remaining percent? What? How do they make money? How do they eat? What do they drink? And so on. This is what we must all think about. And then, whether you want it or not, the nation becomes a kibbutz, thinking of how to continue existing. And not just one nation, the whole world will be like that. And those who are high and mighty, like France and Germany, the United States, Canada, you will see that they will go into free fall. Duty. Okay, just to understand for a moment. I own a falafel stand. He owns a cosmetics shop. We are small businesses dying every day. You say that we will see that the nation doesn't support us. We have nothing to do at home. We will break mentally. And we'll start crying out. Dr. Lightman, it's not that you need to come with any demands. The nation, before you come to break the prime minister's car, before that, the nation has to make sure that you're organized in a proper, in a good, proper way, and for you to receive some support, some assistance, and this is how everyone will exist. Dr. Judy, so if we see that no one is thinking about those things now, there is no such direction, so how will we get to such a correction? Dr. Lightman, you're right, there is no such reason, but there will be. It will come through the blows. If they don't want to learn in a good way, they'll learn a different way. Duty. And where exactly is this mind? What is it born of? Dr. Lightman, suffering. Without suffering, nobody learns a thing. Duty. And when suffering comes, then people will start behaving correctly to create a state of kibbutz and so on. Duty. Yes, of course. Dr. Lightman, yes, of course. Duty. And will everyone be partners, or will there be a head, so to speak, dictating everything? And Dr. Lightman, no, everyone will be partners. There will be no problem. Duty. And why do you say there won't be a place for the falafel stand, etc.? How do you decide what's crucial? Dr. Lightman, no, I'm not saying that it's not crucial, the falafel stand. I'm saying that there won't be anyone on top deciding. It will be the people themselves deciding what's important to them or not. Noma. Okay, so it's in the same vein. How will we learn? How will we learn our lesson? Like, man, either are by ourselves with our intellects or from what you write. That's why it's very important, everything that you write. Duty. Okay, so many people who own businesses that are going to close are 45 years old or older. They were never educated they can't get a new profession, many of them. They don't have time to study or the capacity to start something new. What should they learn then? What should they do? Dr. Eidman, no, they won't need to learn a new profession. They'll need to learn how to be more social. It's a social thing. They won't need to learn how to now make a falafel, for example, or whatever the public wants. They will all have to learn, let's call it the new sociology. Duty. And the nation has to make sure that everyone has a sort of a safety net. Dr. Leitman, yes, of course. Of course. You have no alternative, Duty. You just have to understand that if we understand this, then it's easier for us to understand what nature demands of us and how we can respond in order to suffer less. But however it may be, nature will compel us. Duty. Okay, so our last question on the subject, if you can perhaps answer. When people are sitting at home, then what's happening there in that situation? Dr. Leitman, sitting at home? Duty, yes, if you can be like a brief answer at least. Dr. Leitman, we sit at home, study through the internet, we study the laws and ordinances of the new society, we do our homework, not just me, but my wife as well as my children. It's in addition to what they get from school. And grandma and grandpa also, we're all in one system together studying, and also we see the appropriate movies on television, etc. All sorts of things. We're interested in having our brains washed, so to speak, and to quickly, as quickly as possible, enter the new integral system of society. Really. Wait, so even a person who's 60 years old who never studied anything, he sits and does homework? Dr. Leitman, yes, what's the problem? I'm 75 years old. Why is it bad for me to study? Duty. Okay, so this principle is clear. In a month, but... Dr. Leitman, you can learn many things. Many emotional things, I mean, tragedies, comedies, all our life. Our whole life revolves around that. All of humanity revolves around that. Okay, so we'll have a sharp transition to a different issue, related but still. Shelley, so about marriages and divorces. Shelley, okay, so there are many stories now saying that people connected more due to the coronavirus, other people parted due to the coronavirus, but in large, above this whole issue of marriage, there's a lot of talk about loneliness. Marriage is at an all-time low. People feel lonely. In the Scandinavian countries, people seem to no longer get married very much. So in light of the coronavirus and all the coming changes, where do you think the Institute of Marriage is going? How will the coronavirus affect it? Dr. Leitman, this is a transitionary period. So we shouldn't have any... it's not the time for the final summary yet. Right? We need to wait for humanity to settle, receive a new form, I'm certain that people won't be able to live in a way where they're isolated from each other, in a way where they don't give birth to children, where they stop caring about that. No, it's very contrary to human nature, because ultimately we are animals. And so these instincts do exist in us. We simply repress them through various, let's call them inhuman modes of behavior, things we were accustomed to. So I think it will come. It will come, that's one thing. Also, it all depends on our work. I don't think that a woman will suddenly stop wanting children, that she won't want a husband next to her own man. And I think that men, too, will more and more return towards permanent relationships with women. I think that the 20th century is starting slowly to pass. Shelley, so there's this atmosphere we get from this talk that things are becoming more balanced, more clean, better. Dr. Lightman, it's the recognition of evil. It's not that it's clean, better. It's the recognition of evil. That's how we get there. Shelley, okay, so humanity, it sounds, is moving in a direction where it's something that's much better for it. Right? Not some kind of industry that stupefies a person. So the question, how will this change come to the family cell, which is sort of disintegrating? Dr. Lightman, look, clearly this is different to many phenomena that we have now happening in the work market and people sit at home and so on. It's very clear. But these things are still so new and sudden that we shouldn't derive many conclusions from it yet. I'm certain that human nature is such that it wants family, it wants to have something of its own, it wants children, a continuation of itself, to see them. I'm certain that they will want and will be willing to pay for this in money and time, just so to see that the person has a future, a continuation. Shelley, okay, so a question that came to our Facebook group is, why should people get married according to the wisdom of Kabbalah? What is the spiritual meaning of marriage? The wisdom of Kabbalah explains to us that in this way we continue our corrections within the mechanism of nature. In such a way where nothing ends. And I, who am part, all of us in general who are in a connection, in relationships, even if not as a couple, all sorts of connections like that, by that we generate the system of connections called the structure of Adam Rishon. Later we will see how correct it is or not, how natural or not. That comes later. But in truth, nature is toying with us. It may seem to us that we are thinking about all sorts of relationships, connections, to get married, to get divorced, and so on. No, that's not us. No, but none of us does anything according to his own will. The desire for it comes from above. Shelley, so the personal relationship, which is very demanding, brings out of people their best and worst. Is there something spiritual in this friction? Dr. Lightman, everything has a spiritual element to it. but it's just hidden from us. After that comes the physical. Could be anything else? Yes, there's one last question. How do you recommend to survive this difficult transitionary period? Dr. Leitner, I think that we need, as best as we can, to learn to just sit at home, to limit our presence, or rather not to limit, to increase our presence in media, to see how this whole coronavirus is coming to us, so that we will be able to make public the method of correction. And I hope very much that you're taking this seriously, and that we will succeed. And our success, well, the time the coronavirus passes, that depends on our efforts, and also what will come instead of the coronavirus. It's all about how we rise, us and humanity behind us. And I'm very glad to see all of you here on the monitors, on the screens, all healthy and happy. It's very good. So with that, we shall part. I now have I have a student from Africa that I'm... I now need to talk to. I don't know who exactly it is, who she is. Duty. Yes, she became the mayor of a city called... What's her name? Kara. Of course, Kara. In Benin. She became the mayor there. It's a very large district. Okay, friends, so let's hope that we can also meet physically soon. I miss you dearly, and also I'm very much looking forward to it. Good luck. Good luck.